started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together once again in your house as we praise you and we worship you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all of your mercy, all of your blessings and your grace, the strength that you've given us, your wisdom, your guidance, and your power, Lord. And I pray, Lord, today that you would heal those that need to be healed and that they would be healed by your word, Lord, that you would let me to empower me to speak your word, Lord, and help it to have strength and clarity and wisdom to those who need it, Lord, and to strengthen those who need to be strengthened and comforted during their time of need, Lord. So as we go to your day, Lord, we ask for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you could please stand, we can read the verse together for today's sermon. It's going to be coming from 2 Chronicles 7:14. And as our pastor here says, you know, let me know when you get it to it. Says if you don't have the program, you can't tell the players. So when you got it, just say amen.
Amen.
Keeping with tradition, I'm gonna bring a read from my grandma's Bible from Arkansas. Even though I put in the slide, I put that's the New King James. She only has one, and that's the Old King James. Amen. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land." Amen. Please be seated. Today we're speaking from the theme simply called, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." As we look at 2 Chronicles 7:14, we're coming from the Old Testament in the days of King Solomon. And he was just completed building the temple. And of course, you know, King Solomon was one of the greatest kings in the history of the Bible. And when he had the opportunity to speak to God and ask what he wanted, he asked for simply wisdom. Now, I see some people right now and they're looking saying, well, I should probably change my prayer from last night, or maybe I need to update it again today, because it wasn't just wisdom that he gave him. He gave him strength. He gave him money. He gave him the leadership ability to do great things as long as he followed the covenant. So we go from the time where he completed the temple, and we also look back, and it's the dedication of the temple. It's the Feast of Tabernacles, where they celebrated, and they actually came to the temple and read the Torah for 7 days, which was the law given to Moses by God for 7 days. And on the 8th day, they wrapped up with a feast and celebrated. But these are things that the people, God's people at that time, they celebrated his word, and he blessed their nation. This is something that we've kind of seemed like we've kind of fallen off in recent times, and we need to make sure that we get back to that. My first point, by just breaking down the verse, is if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. What is he talking about here? He's talking about being humble servants of God. In the Old Testament, when his people, the people of Israel, whenever they followed the covenants, they didn't seek false gods, then they were always blessed. And whenever they strayed off, there was always consequences. But if we will humble ourselves, and this is something in today's day and age, that it seems like people of this world that we're in, even though we're set apart as children of God and those that believe, he simply, the people are not being, they're not being humble. They're always thinking about themselves. They're doing their own thing. And so many times, you know, even when, from the last sermon that I spoke on, the kingdom of God mentality, it seems like that this is like kind of like going to be almost like a hobby, or we're trying to fit God into our plans. And it's like we need to be humble. And if you go even into the New Testament in Matthew 23:12, it says, "And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." So this means that it's very, very important that not only do you worship our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ, but even in the days of the Old Testament, it was important for them to follow the covenant of God. And that's why he's saying that you need to humble yourselves at all times. And we as Christians, sometimes we put everything else ahead of what we're doing, and we don't get back to, you know, what we're doing and what we're praising and what we're learning in his house even today on Sunday. And that's supposed to be every single day that we live, because we're not only the children of Jesus, but we're also Christians, not part-time Christians. Not when it comes, you know, it's not like when we become saved that we get a card in the mail in 2 to 6 weeks and we use it when we need to. You know, sometimes that's when, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, that's when some people go to the Lord in prayer. But that's not what it is. It's like when you become saved, that's when your walk truly begins. And at all times, you need to be humble in your walk with Jesus. And he's asking his people to be humble. Even in Luke 4:14-11 says, "For whoever," that's the same one. It's almost the exact same wording as Matthew. And anytime that I've seen double verses in the Bible minus a word or something, that's probably a key that you need to pay attention. But Luke 14:11 just says, "For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Almost word for word. Anytime that God repeats himself, anytime there's double messages, that means we need to pay attention. "Pray and seek my face." What is he talking about? Is he talking about just looking around for Jesus? Is he just talking about it in the times of Solomon? It's like, okay, well, he's their king. But who is the real king? God. God is the one who provided. God is the one who's always provided for his people. He's the one that brought them through. That's why they had the Feast of Tabernacles. That's why he commanded Solomon to build his temple. It wasn't an option. That's where he wanted his temple. That's where he wanted his house, so that people could come and praise him. And this is all the way back in the days of the Old Testament. And how, you know, even when I arrived here today, how sad it is to see that people, even today in 2020, don't value the house of the Lord. I mean, they're knocking down the doors. They're breaking in on a regular basis. They're stealing things. And it's like, what is the world come to when you have people and you have evil that's, you know, that's then infilling these people and running amok? It's like we need to get back to leaning on the Lord and the promises that he's given us, and that our faith will provide. We need to put him first. "Pray and seek my face." That means in everything that we pray, when we pray to the Lord, we should be asking, we should be seeking, and if that doesn't work, then we should be knocking. We should be knocking hard on that door. But we should be asking for all of our prayers to be answered. And asking, you shall receive them. Seek and you shall find, and knock and the door will be opened. And so we need to get back to this in the power of prayer, because that is the most important part in keeping God's commandments. It's the most important part. It's the crucial piece that you must look at whenever you're saying, okay, well, what do I do? You know, these people in the world are pulling me this way. And before I was saved, I thought this was okay. Well, you're a Christian now. So get back to the power of prayer, and also seek him as the important person that he is. And that's where sometimes, you know, the things that are going on around this world right now, it seems, you know, that's the devil's business, is to confuse you and make you think that there's something else more important. But if you get back to the basics, you get back to the foundation, then God will provide for you, but you must make him a priority, and you must keep him every day in prayer. When I chose the theme for today's verse, you know, I was just going to say power of prayer, and that was the message I received from God, and I know that that pretty much says it all, because everybody has their own way that that they pray to God, whether it's in group prayer in church, whether it's in, you know, with their family, their children, their loved ones. They have their time. But it seems like nowadays we're so consumed with everything else, and we're seeing if we could once again, if we can pencil God in when it's convenient for us. It's almost like, you know, in the old days, you know, when you couldn't get stuff, you had to put it on layaway. We don't put Jesus on layaway. We need to make sure that he is a priority. And praying, you know, praying people are faithful people. Because, you know, when you pray, when you use faith, you know, God honors faith because faith honors God.
Right.
So you need to make sure that you put your faith in God.
Amen.
First and foremost. But when I thought about the lyrics of the song, you know, what a friend we have in Jesus.
Yeah.
It says it all right there in my favorite version. I know it's an old hymnal song, but my favorite version is from the Queen of Soul, the late, great Aretha Franklin. And it simply just says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege. And remember, it doesn't say what a right. It says what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. That means don't hold it up and let it burden you down. That means carry it to God. It says, oh, what a peace we often forfeit. Oh, what a needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And all it is getting back to the basics. This is basically what the power of prayer in the sermon is about. Is getting back to putting God first and listening to him and making him a priority and following the covenant of God. That's the same theme over and over again. When you also look at, the third point is, and turn from your wicked ways, know what God considers wicked and holy. So he says, turn from your wicked ways. Well, if you don't know what's wicked, how are you going to turn from it?
Well,
are you still living in sin, or are you saved and you're somewhat saved? You know, are you living it, or are you walking with Jesus? You know, sometimes, you know, we've all been there at times, and if I'm not speaking anyway, I'll speak about myself.
Well,
when I wasn't saved, I wasn't on a closer walk with thee. I was on a closer walk with me. And it always led me down the same roads every single time to nowhere. And when you commit your life and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you accept him and you say, Lord, I'm going to follow you, then things change in your life. But you got to turn away from your wicked ways. You got to stop sinning. You got to stop holding a grudge. You know, you're sitting there, oh, I wish that 2020 was better than 2019 and 2018, but you're carrying that old baggage from way back when. So stop doing all these things and let things go. Take them to the Lord in prayer. Let the Lord give you guidance. Let the Lord give you direction. Let the Lord free you from those shackles that are the devil's trying to keep you down. He's trying to keep you back. But pray and give it to the Lord in prayer, and he shall free each and every one of you. But you must be obedient, and you must be honest in your God, in your walk with Jesus. And if you need to stop sinning and get away from your wicked ways, you got to think about, you know, back in Ephesians 6, 10 through 16, where they talk about putting on the whole armor of God. Every single day, exactly. Amen. And if you even get down to the 14th verse, it says, Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod in your feet and with a preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So now if we know who the wicked one is, that's the same person that's going to have you doing wicked things and living in wicked ways. Amen? And that's the enemy. And you don't want to give him that opportunity. But trust me, I've always been told the closer you are in your walk with Jesus, the more he's going to come for you. And that's where that armor of God and each and every one of us in this room, because we're brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
And that doesn't mean just on Sunday between, 11 and 1 or an early service and then we're done. This means all week long. And even the things that the pastor's praying about rebuilding the church and getting, the congregation, more members in the congregation, that's not just one person's job. That's everyone in the church. That's their job. So we have to work on that together each and every day. And when we're asking people to come to Christ, even as new saved members, they rely on you to help with that walk. And when they say, I am my brother's keeper, you are each and every day.
Yeah.
But it's not just in Sunday. I mean, because at the end, when you're called home to be with our Lord Jesus Christ, you may get an A in attendance, but in personal character, I don't know. I don't know if he gives an F or if it's just a pass fail. But these are things that we need to be improving on each and every day. But we need to work with each other in everything that we do. Wrapping up the verse, God says, "Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." That's powerful. You think about all the different things that are going on right now in our country. We're all walking around. Back in the day when we'd fellowship, you hug and handshake and really get to know our brothers and sisters in Christ. And now everybody doesn't even want to hit the light switch, and you're doing all these weird things. And that's what the devil wants. That's it. But see, at this time, and even the Feast of Tabernacles, and the day when the people of Israel, God's children, and all the Christians around the world today, God's children, well, they would come together as a nation and pray and praise God. Now, I know that that's a heavy task today, is to get, all the people, all of God's children around the world to pray. And we can't even... as a country, we can't even agree, who should lead and what's going on with what. But what we can do is take it back to the basics, like I mentioned before. And that means, what can you do to personally improve yourself? And if you improve yourself as a Christian and your commitment with God, then as a church body, then we should be able to pray together so that these things, and if everyone around the world, all of Jesus' children, prayed, then just like back in the days of the Old Testament, he says, "Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." That's it. It's not my word, it's his word.
Amen.
So we're walking around, we don't know if we can handshake, whatever. I'm gonna shake everybody's hand that I can shake. When Jesus walked the earth, he didn't sit there and run away just because someone had leprosy, or hide because they were blind, or he didn't know what was going on. Do you believe, or do you just say you believe? We need to get back to the basics. And only when we get back to the basics, then he will hear from us from heaven. He will forgive our sins, and he will heal our land. Amen. And wrapping it up today, I'm reminded by some lyrics from a song, and it's a brand new song. We don't play it or anything, but it was a song that I heard that just really touched my heart, and it's called "Trust in You" by Anthony Brown and the group. It's called Group Therapy. Kind of an interesting, but it's a good group. And the song says, "Trust in You," and it says, You did not create me to worry. You did not create me to fear, but you created me to worship daily. So I'm going to leave it all right here. My hands are raised because I surrender. Your will is what is best for me. I worship you because you're Jehovah Jireh. I bow before the King of Kings. No more crying, no more complaining. I believe your word is true. Lord, you promised never to leave me lonely, so this is what I'm going to do. I will trust in you, Lord, as he repeats it several times. I will put my trust in you, Lord. And that's what we need to do. We need to keep the power of prayer in our daily lives as a church family, and even to those who don't know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we need to pray for them. Every single chance we get, we need to be disciples of Christ. We need to develop disciples. We need to do God's work every chance we get. And if you can't memorize verses, if you don't know every single thing, all you got to do is share with, I don't care if it's a coworker, a person on the street, just share with them about the goodness of Jesus and what he's done for you. That's it. That's it. You don't have to be a preacher, a pastor, a minister, because you think if, you know, it's kind of like sports. We all love football. But people think, you know what, if I'm not on the field, then I'm not part of the team. And that's not true. Each and every one of you is a child of God, and you are called individually to do his work.
Amen.
So don't sit there and think that you don't matter. What he has put on your heart, that's what you need to carry out. Because he doesn't always call the equipped. However, he will equip the call.
Yes, sir.
Yay. Amen. So once again, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. All we need to do is get back to making God first in our lives and sticking with the commandments that he's asked us. And in doing so, if you would please stand as we finish the sermon today. And getting back with the basics from the book of Matthew, Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer. So if you would, please recite it with me. I think they're going to put up the slide here in a minute. Everybody knows it. Are you ready? Let's go. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And all the people of God say, Amen. Amen. Thank you.